on my phone. They have an app. And I have them on Roku because I have a Roku. Mm-hmm. So if I'm feeling like I need to have some news, I'll turn on the Young Turks. And now that Jon Stewart's not around.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, that's a little bit of a void, but I filled it with the Young Turks. And so.
And the Young Turks do have a comedic bent to them. As did obviously Jon Stewart, and a lot of people, when you'd ask when he was still on, hey, where do you get the majority of your news from? People would say, oh, Jon Stewart and The Daily Show, which is funny because it's meant for entertainment, but still he was providing news comedically, which is why how I think we really need to take the news, because it's scary out there right now. I mean, on a worldwide scale, on a domestic scale, I mean, Trump scares the poop out of me. I think Trump is scarier than George W. Bush on his second run through. And when he ran in 2004, I had told my now ex-husband, I said, if George W. Bush wins, we need to move out of the country. And he was like, yeah, of course we will. Of course we will. And then when he won, I asked my now ex-husband, so when are we leaving? And he's like, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, like, in 2008, did you get in touch with him and ask him why?
Well, I left him right before Obama was elected. I left him in 2007. But he was a black guy, so I'm sure he loved Obama. I'm sure he still does. But if Donald Trump wins, which is a unique possibility, it could happen. A lot of people are thinking of voting for him, my parents being one of them. A lot of people love... We've already trained American society to love media, which isn't even real media, as we just discussed. It's all just entertainment at this point.
I wish he'd take his hair off.
Yeah, right? Is it real? Why hasn't anyone done a news story on whether it's real or whether it's fake? And if it is a toupee company, they should be making some money off him, right? Like, whose toupee company should he be endorsing? I mean, is it real? Is it a comb over? What's happening with that? And... I have no idea. He's a scary, scary man. But if he is elected, I'm thinking about jumping ship and fleeing the country, because I just can't imagine. Well, I already feel like George Bush did one thing for America, which is the No Child Left Behind thing, which was really unhelpful because he turned an entire generation of Americans into consumer bots that have no concept of critical thought. They all teach to the test, ABC, all multiple choice. And he systematically removed critical thought from the core curriculum in the United States public school system.
Oh, is that why we're missing it?
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's part of the reason of Think. And when it was like Think, Grow, Love, Think... is critical thought. That is one of the things that I want to bring to the show.
Absolutely. It's gone in the school system. I taught in public school system, and when I quit being a public education school teacher when George Bush unveiled No Child Left Behind, because everything started to change. And I was dealing with special education students that were never going to pass this test because they couldn't sit down for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I used to teach special ed too.
Oh, rad.
Yeah,
special
I did.
Ed sisters.
Yeah,
there
really?
We go.
Yeah. In fact, I did that, and then I went during the summer, I went to get my master's in special education, but right. I had a little medical thing happen, and I was doing it when I lived in Baltimore. It was at Loyola College, Loyola University, and in Maryland. And then my then husband, who we have all these then husbands, my then husband was finished dental school, and we were off to Fayetteville, North Carolina, to go into and joined the Army.
Wow.
And I got my master's of adult learning and community education from North Carolina State University on the post, the Army post.
I see.
Fort Bragg.
Wow.
And in my class there were 12 or 14 of us that sat around this table, and I was 25 years old and a female, and 10 of them were Army officers.
Wow.
And I learned about the inner workings of the Army, the organization, sure. and their educational program, and all of that. And the head of our program, Dr. Boone, this program was the beginning of adult education and community college education in this country. Huh. And he went to China and taught and took and created, helped the Chinese create community and adult education in China.
Wow.
One of the mentors.
For women and men?
That I don't know. I did not ask that question then. But Malcolm Knowles, Dr. Knowles, who was on the faculty at that time, he wrote the book on adult learning
okay.
and self-directed learning. And that's where my education and he still today, when you go and study how to create online educational programs, Dr. Knowles
wow.
is the base
sure.
and self-directed learning. So now we're tying it, you know, the critical thinking,
right.
the adult education, and here I am.
And self-directed learning is so important. I know a lot of comedians, but a lot of them never had formal education, and yet they're incredibly intelligent people because they read and do research on their own. And I've told people, like, you know, when they say, well, I'm too old to go back to college, and I go, well, you're not too old to learn. You can always find everything now is at yeah. our fingertips on the internet.
Lifelong learning.
Lifelong learning.
That was and yeah. that was coined at, you know, where at North
In your
Carolina.
Program, yeah.
So, you know, it was a very interesting chapter because the backstory is that this hippie girl is sitting in there with a bunch of army dudes, right? Who was
who just came
a few
from
things
the
I won't say on the air that we, you know, that was part of our culture, and yeah, and had done demonstrations and things
sure.
like that. And here I am, I'm sitting around these. But then I had guys that were in special forces.
Oh, wow.
In Vietnam.
Ooh.
And they were telling us stories. We were doing these projects together, and they were telling us stories. And then I don't know what it was, but one time I met one of their wives, and she's looking at me kind of crazy, but they didn't know the stories.
Right.
Because they
wow.
couldn't tell them.
Oh, of course, because they were too close. And you don't want to scare
not
your families with stuff like that.
Not only too close, but it was not, you know.
You didn't do that back then. You yeah. bottle it all up, and you be a good soldier. You don't talk about it, because
yeah.
you know. Because I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't.
But,
understand.
Yeah. So that
I believe
say,
in talking about it.
Yeah, I do too. So, in terms of talking about it, so I'd like to switch it a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to start out by talking about our comedy festival is coming up. I want to talk about the comedy festival and what it is and why you decided to do it and when it is and how they can buy tickets. And then I want to segue into why it's important for, you know, going back a little bit to why it's important for podcasters and their
presenters
guests and
yeah,
presenters yeah. and to have a good sense of humor and to be able to put some humor, because I never really thought about it. I thought you were born a comedian, you know, but I know you're not. I mean,
right.
you could be, but I know that it must have to do with timing, but I'm a total novice, and I'm like, oh gosh, something else I need to learn. I need to learn all this technology and improv and to be a comedian.
Well, it's
you know,
time
add
and
something.
Pain. I mean, time and pain.
Time and pain.
That's what equals comedy. It's pain plus time equals comedy. That's kind of the thing.
The timing?
Well, no. You have to be honest about your pain and then have a sense of humor about it, because everyone has pain. So what you're trying to do is reach down into those places of insecurity in yourself, bring them out, and make them relatable to your audience. So if you were a presenter for an audience and you want to involve comedy, I think the first thing you need to know is your audience. Now, when you're doing straight just comedy, sometimes people say, well, F your audience, or just do what feels right for you. And it's like, well, it depends what kind of situation you're in. If you know that you're going in specifically to promote or to present. Know your audience and cater to them. So
I would think so, because I've been listening to a lot of comedy lately, and some comedians, I mean, they're obvious, they're talking to their audience, and yeah. I may not be their audience.
Right. And then do you relate to them? Do you not? I mean, it's that one thing when
I'm a Lewis Black fan.
And you said, yeah.
You said, you know.
He yells a lot, which I understand, which I like. I like a lot of.
He says the F word a lot, too, which isn't something that I'm all that excited about. But what he does have is Jewish humor.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing,
and
is that Jews have a sense of humor. Right, exactly. Well, so you've got two points where you connect on.
Right.
You're Jews and you're about the same age. So you already know that you're thinking about similar issues. So he's connected with you on that
right.
level.
Right. And when he's talking about what it's like to be in your 60s, it's really, I am just rolling on the floor.
You're right there, yeah, because he's keyed into you as an audience member right. and something that you connect with.
Right.
It's the funny thing. Jews will always tell you that you're Jews. They're Jews. Jews, vegans, and lesbians will always tell you. They will always let you know that. But it's okay. I'm a Jew. I tell everybody all the time too. I'm not a lesbian. I don't talk about that. But it's one of the ways. It's comedy is about connecting with people, and so you have to know your audience to be able to connect with them, because they're not going to find the same things funny that you do. That's why sometimes I hear these, you know, 18 to 22-year-old comics talking about their genitals, and I'm like, whoop-de-doo, I guess that's because that's what you spend all your time doing. Now, other 22-year-old dudes are going to be like, yeah, masturbation, exactly right, in the shower, ha, ha, ha. And it's like, I'm like, you know, can we talk about something with meaning? Because I honestly believe that comedy is another form of politics. It's like poetry, in that you're using language to craft an emotional response from your audience. Now, with poetry, it's all over the board. You can make them feel nostalgia. You can make them feel sadness. You can make them feel happy. You can make them feel, you know, connection. There's all kinds of feelings that you can create through that particular medium. But with comedy, you're crafting language to elicit laughter, happiness, but not necessarily happiness, thought, that you're trying
to
connect.
It's a release.
Right, it's a release. It's like a cathartic thing.
Yeah, it's an So this is what I like to get to, and why I love interviews. Because what I'm hearing is we hold a lot of tension in our bodies, mm-hmm. and a lot of that tension, emotional, and a lot of that emotional stuff, if we don't release it, it holds us back from being successful. It holds us back from feeling that we're worthy. I mean, all different kinds of issues.
Yeah.
So when you go and hit something that as a comedian that I can relate to and that I have tension about, and I think I'm the only one in the world that is dealing with this,
right.
And I'm like, oh my God, he's talking about it, and there's 500 people laughing, so they obviously get it too,
right.
And then you laugh, and then you release.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a release. So it's healing. But we've heard that comedy, laughter is healing.
Like laughter is the best medicine. Yeah, yeah. That's a reason why they say it, because you have to have a sense of humor. If we didn't have a sense of humor, we'd all have committed suicide a long time ago. I mean, too many things are happening. Too many stressful things are happening in people's lives. And it's so hard, because everyone ultimately, you know, is alone. And we hope that we can build communities and we can build friendships and relationships with other people that will be there to support us. But really, we're all pretty alone. I mean, if you can actually create people and surround yourself with people that actually care about you, wow. That's amazing, because it's so hard to go through. And I mean, I used to work in corporate America. I know how they try to work you, and they give you tasks, and then they fire someone else, and then they give you their job, and I've got more work, and what am I going to do? And if you don't have the ability to sort of laugh about the situation or not take it so seriously, it can really stress causes sickness. We know this. You can make yourself sick by being stressed out. So any way that we can alleviate this through meditation, through laughter, and we need to stay away. Like, I personally need to stay away from those usual things. When I get triggered, that's the alarm telling me I'm on your show. when I get triggered, it is. I'm so organized. When I get triggered, the first thing I do usually is go out and consume mass quantities of alcohol. And now that I'm trying to stop that as a, like, I sort of recognize that in myself, that I'm never giving myself time to actually rest and focus on what's happening, because when I get upset or when I get triggered, I'm just like, I'm going to drink. And that's, I think a lot of us use unhealthy mechanisms to unwind, to de-stress, to release, but it doesn't actually cause us to release those feelings and those emotions that have built up. Right. It's merely a mask. And so, you know, it's like, I don't have a problem with medical marijuana because I feel like it actually gets me deeper into myself as opposed to hiding things from myself. But I think alcohol is definitely this negative thing that, but that's the other thing. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous in our site. You can't walk down the street in San Francisco without seeing like 12 ads for $1.99, 24-ounce Budweiser, or turn on the TV and there's alcohol ads and billboards, and it's everywhere. Especially, I think, in this city.
Oh, this body.
Yeah.
San Francisco.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a bar like on every corner, and it's one of the reasons I moved here, because it is a fun party town. But I mean, we have to start. There must be healthier ways for us to be successful people.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, and that is what Think Grow Love is all about, is to find the balance. You know, you can have it, you know, a cocktail or whatever, and it's, you know, social, you unwind a little bit. But frankly, I find, I mean, I know people and they drink a lot of wine. I couldn't, number one, the wine has to be really good for me to drink it.
Yeah, good for you.
And I can't imagine drinking a whole bottle of it.
Oh, really? That's like nothing for me. I'm like, if you're going to open the bottle, better finish it. I mean, who's going to open a bottle and cork it? I don't want any of that oxidized wine later.
Well, you can't. You can't. Yeah. So you want to have enough, you know, right. friends.
Well, it's better to split a bottle. But whenever I split a bottle with my boyfriend, we end up drinking too. but drinking with my boyfriend isn't necessarily the problem.
No.
But there's... Okay. So back to comedy.
Yeah.
Having that release. I really think it's a political medium where I feel able to express myself, because I'm not really sure how else to be political in this landscape right now. I mean, I'm not going to go out and, you know, put up a sign for Bernie and be like, Bernie Sanders, woo! Like, because I don't know how that can actually affect people. But standing up on stage and talking about, I'm doing a recent joke. This is ridiculous. There's a new group of radical Christians that live in the Midwest called the Catholics, and they've jumped on the hashtag Black Lives Matter movement, because they say, well, if Black Lives Matter, then why were there 78,000 abortions of African-American children in New York in 2011? Like, that's their new argument, which is confusing the issue. But it's like the Catholics are now, so that's a political issue for me. Like, the Catholics are getting back into the game of my uterus, get right back inside there. Ow, oh, there's so many Catholics in my uterus. And it hurts so bad. But they're all back inside there on the back of the Black Lives Matter movement, which is crazy to me, because the two have nothing to do with one another. In fact, using a pro-life a sentiment while talking about Black Lives Matter negates pro-choice, and I think that African-American women deserve the choice to decide whether they can, you know, bring up a fully functioning adult. And all of us. I really think that we
So need. I think that, Pam, I think it's really... we can't solve all the problems, but, you know... if there's a certain
I'm kidding, we can.
If there's a certain, you know, a specific, there's certain specific issues that are really relevant to you, and you have a stage and you have a platform here on the radio, and so you're putting that out there, and it might be a small audience, and but you don't know. And yeah, you don't know, there could be one, if it's benefiting one person,
right,
then it's very valuable. And I'll tell you the story of, I have my brother's girlfriend is the Pam Goodman, and I'm going to have her on the show. I've already talked to her, and she's just a lovely, generous woman who is the president of the League of Women Voters.
Oh, cool.
In Florida.
Wow.
And she and her friend, so she was vice president for the state for a while, and her friend was president. Now she's president. And they are kicking butt.
Great.
And
good.
They were trying to redistrict. My brother's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And so he's like helping, you know, to craft and do stuff, and they're kicking butt in Florida. They tried to redistrict, the Republicans tried to redistrict the whole state,
yeah,
and for the coming election, and they came in with another group, and I don't remember what that is, they stopped it from happening. So there's an issue. They saw it, and they did it, and they volunteer their time. They're not paid.
That's
amazing. So for us to give up and say, well, we really, you know, so much. But I think what happens, and I'm going to kind of relate this to the 90-day year. So when I look at my business and growing my, you know, growing this podcast and having people really benefit from it all over, you know, the world, and what it's really going to take for it to happen and grow and have 100,000 downloads and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like about ready to have a nervous breakdown if I start to think about that.
Right,
and then
right,
if I create a checklist for that, you know, I'm like out, you
I'm
know, and
I'm
like you, I may not be headed for the bottle, but I'm headed for something else, you know, because you're just like, oh. So you can't focus on everything. It would drive anybody crazy. But if you can, but if everybody stepped up and said, this is my little issue.
Right.
And this is what I'm going to put out there. This is my little good in the world. And that's what I love about the community, the online community that I'm connected with. They are so, I'm going to name it, Freedom Hackers. There's now 22,000 of us in
wow,
that group. Kimra is my teacher. She's taught me how to build an online tech business, but we are spiritually conscious.
Wow.
And it's about building a business that comes from our passion, that we're passionate about,
yeah,
and serving.
Sure.
And serving and making money to be able to live in this world,
right,
and do good in this world. And so it may, you know, you may sit in a place where you're not connected to that.
Sure.
But when you see that, and these are young people. I mean, they're all ages, but they're mainly, you know, 20s and 30s and some 40s. And, you know, there's not that many 60-year-olds hanging out in there.
Right. You're a lifelong learner. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So I want to hear about, so we had a few tips about why we should be...
Have a sense of humor.
Yeah,
so
have a sense
yourself.
Of humor.
Don't kill yourself. Have a sense of humor.
Okay.
Please, for the love of God.
And I want to invite you back to delve into that a little bit more on another show. So now, how did this brainchild of the first annual...
Comedy festival.
And they're coming in from all over the country. So
yeah,
we want to encourage people to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's people coming from New York, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Georgia, South Carolina, Indiana, Michigan, Texas. Where else? I said Georgia, Florida. We have so many states. We have like 14 states represented. We also have a comedian from Germany.
Wow.
Who's going to be here, which is great. She's hilarious. Ingrid is amazing. And there's 25 shows in 5 days. to showcase that there's the talent of people in town. There's 20 local hosts, and then these 24 comedians that are flying from everywhere to come here, from Oregon, from Washington, although that's not that far. Some from LA even, but
well, you know, just getting here from the East Bay is
right. Yeah. Just coming in from the East Bay is a long way. Absolutely, crossing that bridge is
2 hours.
Nuts. It's crazy. But I went to this festival last year in August. I was accepted in a festival in Seattle called the Hilarious Comedy Festival, which is happening again. Submissions are open until April. And it was great. It was like comedy summer camp. I met all of these comedians from all over the United States. One of them, Andy Picaro, was just here last weekend. He did four shows with me here and was really excited about San Francisco just because I told him about it last August. He's like, I want to come see if it's really true. And I'm like, come on out, bro. So he came and stayed in Airbnb, and I booked him on a bunch of shows here, and he got booked on some other shows, and he checked things out. And it was really great. But so I met all these people, and I felt like, hey, the only problem with that festival was that their space that they chose just wasn't ideal. So I thought, we have the space. I mean, I can do this. So... and it's really about getting these comedians from out of town, audiences here, to show them like what San Francisco comedy is all about. That there's tons and tons of open mics and there's lots and lots of stage time here. I'm also giving them amazing gift bags with just great stuff. And a couple of them need couches to stay on, so I'm hooking that up for them. I still need 2 more couches if anybody out there is willing to house a comedian. I'm giving them a list of how to be a good house guest. You should never have to do the dishes when a comedian is staying on your couch. But yeah, so I decided this is a really great opportunity for us here at the station to grow, because all of these comedians are coming from out of town. And when those podcasts are created and then we put them on the website, their fans are going to want to listen to them. And so, and because, you know, you can listen to us worldwide, we can have people in Germany listen live. They can download the podcast after. So I feel like we can garner a lot of fans for the station as a whole nationally from the comedians that are coming into this festival. Also, there are over 150 submissions, and I whittled it down to 24. So these are like top-notch comedians that applied for the festival. They're the best of what who applied. So I'm excited. And like, there's 25 different shows, and they're all themed. They're all 50 minutes long. Every comic gets at least 10 minutes. That was another thing at the festival, is I got 7 to 8 minute sets when I went up to Seattle, and it wasn't that much. And here I'm giving everybody at least 3 10 minute sets. Some of them are 12, some of them are 15. And then there's 2 additional shows that aren't at this venue they have opportunity to go to and be a part of. And then there's a special show on Sunday that's Best of the Fest. So they can ostensibly get 6 different opportunities at stage time in the 5 days that they're here. And that's just with the festival itself. I'm also giving them all lists of all the open mics and all the different showcases that are happening, so they can attempt to get booked on other shows. Because I wanted to create the sort of comedy summer camp vibe again. Where
it's a comedy network.
It's a comedy network, yeah. Just trying to continue to build that bridge between Portland and Seattle that I've already kind of been working on for the past couple of years, and solidify that. Because, I mean, Mutiny Radio is, and me, we're sort of getting known as the place. If you're from out of town, people Facebook me all the time and say, hey, I'm coming up from LA, can you get me a spot? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll even put together a show for a person. There's a guy coming in this Friday, Michael Mansour. He's coming in from Texas, and he contacted me and was like, can I get on your show? And I said, of course you can. You're from Texas. Come on in. So I'm going to give him a 10-minute set, and that's great, because that means that I'll put that on his page, and then other people will listen to the show.
That's my model, too, with the interviews with the women entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Because I'm giving them a... they get a link, and I'm creating a graphic, and so they put that on their website, and you click, and being on iTunes, and all that, and I'm teaching them how to be a sought after guest expert.
Right. That's great. You're creating the community, and you're spreading it and helping the station, because that's more downloads for the station, more for you. And we're promoting those voices so that people can be heard. I mean, it's all about free speech, and this is free speech. I mean, the podcasts are free to download and people are free to say anything they want. So, right. I mean, I'm trying to value that. I am really afraid that America is turning into a place of fascism. And if Donald Trump is elected, and that's why I have to be funny about it and try to write as many political jokes as I can. But if Donald Trump is elected, I feel like it's going to be Kristallnacht all over again. He's already talking about making Muslims have ID cards. And I understand that there's a 1952 presidential rule or law that says that you can pick any group of people and deport them if you want, if you think that they're a security threat. And in 1979, Jimmy Carter did that with Iran. And he sent away, I don't know, like 15,000 Iranians or something from the United States. Or didn't let them in or somehow sent them out. But this happened in 1979. So this rule still exists on the books. But the thing everyone's overlooking is that Muslims aren't an ethnicity. It's a religion. You can't, I mean, you could say like, no more Syrians, even though that would suck or whatever. But you could, it's still on the books that as a president, you can say that these people are a national security risk. They could say all the Palestinians or all the Japanese or they're all a security risk. We're sending them away. But you can't do that with a religion because that's Hitler, you know? And that's what I think people are missing. And so many people are jumping on the bandwagon of saying like, yeah, it's Muslims. And I'm like, what is going on? And we're going back to the racism. Oh, it's the black people. Like, one more time for us to be hella racist. What are we doing? Like, I'm very, very afraid. And I feel like I am such a small little person, but if I can affect politics, and that was why I left poetry, as I thought poetry was political as well, but who reads poetry? I mean, come on. It's such a small audience. So I moved to comedy because I feel like there's a wider audience to try to get my personal political message across, which has to do with socialism and feminism and all the other isms. But, you know, and feminism specifically, I mean, only some people hate black people, but everybody hates women. So, like, what are we supposed to do? See, because that's the thing, is I can say that and it's funny, but it's one of those things where people can think about it. Oh, women still only do make 70 cents.
So next show, because I had planned on doing it this show, but we'll do it next show. I'm getting into old radio.
Oh, cool.
And I thought that there were a couple of reasons, but I'm also looking at ways to create the show to be an entertaining as well as informative. And so I thought, well, radio, people used to sit by their radio, yep, and go, ah,
yep,
you know, and
magic.
I used to think that audio was second, you know, was a second, a stepbrother to video. And when I studied with Alex Blomberg at Creative Live, he did a class on storytelling for podcasting. Okay. He, you know, NPR, he's from NPR, and he did This American Life and Planet Money.
Okay.
And so I started listening more to NPR, and after I had, you know, got my teaching from Alex, I was seeing that, you know, how they were constructing the stories. And I was like, well, wait a minute, I don't have a whole team. I can't produce all that,
right.
You know, just to get it out every week on the show. But so I thought, well, old radio. So I'm going to listen to old radio. Now, the other thing is that old radio, and from my research, is that I can actually play that on iTunes because it's, for some reason, they didn't put that in the same copyrights.
Sure,
from pre-50s.
Right.
So anyway, so I found this show, and it's about the history of this woman, and I'm just gonna mention it because I am gonna do it on the next show. And her name was Sarah Josepha Hale. And she's a very inspirational woman. And she created, she's the editor of this book that she created, the Godet's Lady Book, G-O-D-E-Y-S, Godet. Godet. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that, but it was kind of like, you know, some fashion or whatever back in during the Civil War days. But the other thing, and what it talks about, and they animate her, I mean, there's actors doing a story.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she, you know, so it opens where she's talking to a friend and the friend is like, how could you, she says, I hear you're studying geology. How can you do that? Women don't study geology.
Wow. Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, okay. So I meant, so anyway, and the other thing that she did that was really amazing is she's responsible for making Thanksgiving a national holiday.
Wow. I thought that was FDR.
No, it came during that time. And what my, I have to check, but I think it was Abraham Lincoln.
All right.
It was back during the Civil War days.
Yeah. I'm impressive. Garrison Keillor died, sad face, talking about story.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Garrison Keillor of NPR, of Prairie Home Companion. He passed away last week. Yeah, he's just one of the invisible people. You know, David Bowie dies and everybody freaks out. Garrison Keillor dies and everyone's like, who's Garrison Keillor?
Like, my God. So
he knew how to put a show together, Prairie Home Companion.
Oh, yeah. So Beth Conan, we've been playing her here, and I'm going to finish the show out with a little bit. She, Beth plays Chicago, old Chicago blues from the 20s, 30s, 40s.
Cool.
And her partner is Willie. I don't remember Willie's last name. He's a drummer, and he travels with... the name is not going to come to me right away. Anyway, big blues guy. Oh, Butterfield Blues Band guy. Cool. I don't remember his name off the top, but he is a famous blues player. And they were just on Prairie Home Companion. They were supposed to go back in May.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the show's going to continue without Garrison or what they're going to
do.
I mean, how do you do that? How do you do it without the star? I mean, there was a whole team behind him, but... do they continue? I mean, what are the tales?
We still have the Muppets.
The Muppets. What do they do with the tales from Lake Wobegon? Who's going to do that? You know what I mean?
I don't know. Anyway.
So to buy tickets, there's a couple different places. You can go directly to universe.com and then in the search bar put Mutiny Radio. But we also have buy now links on the front page of our Mutiny Radio website. And then also...
and that is mutinyradio.fm.
Exactly. So that's on the front page. The buy now buttons go directly there for the day passes. Actually, for all the shows. There's two places on the website. If you can't see it on the front page, you can see it on the sidebar and they're both there. You can also on Facebook, on our Facebook Mutiny page, you can just click on buy tickets there on our front page and they're all right there. Big thanks to universe.com. Shireen, you're helping me out. Good lady. She really helped me out with the technical side because I'm just not savvy in that way. So I really appreciate universe.com for their help. And then, so that's how you buy tickets. Individual shows are $10 and there's no price break on those. But if you buy a day
pass... that's pretty darn reasonable.
Well, they're 50-minute shows. So,
oh, okay.
And this is the best thing. I have 40 chairs coming on Friday because they are... we have... a hotel on 1800 Sutter Street that is donating because I'm giving them our 501c3 number. They're giving us 40 chairs. They're white and black. They have backs and arms. So people will actually be able to sit in here and be comfortable during the show and not have to sit on rickety benches that we made that make noise and that are totally uncomfortable. They're padded chairs. It's going to be amazing. So I'm excited about that. But there's no break on the individual shows. But if you go and buy a day pass, you can save 20% in two ways. A, currently we have a discount code going for early purchase, which is happening right now. So you can get 10% off for buying a day pass. And then you can get another 10% off by both tweeting us and Google Plusing us. So you can get your $35 ticket for under $30 if you buy now. And then you have access to all five shows on that particular day. So if you choose day one, you could see the clean show, the all-female review, the opening show, the dirty show, and then there's one more in there. But each day has differently themed shows, so you can kind of pick a day, buy a pass, and then get a discount for buying a pass. And if you really want to support the station and you're just a diehard comedy fan and you think like, wow, I have so much disposable income, this is a group I want to help, you can get a festival pass for $150, but the same thing applies. We have the 10% discount if you buy now as an early package, and then we have the extra 5% that we can take off if you tweet or Google Plus us. So you can get your $150 ticket for $130 and have access to all 25 shows in all 5 days. And if you do buy one of those passes, you get super special treatment. We let you in the green room. You can meet all of the comedians. PBR is one of our sponsors. So in the green tent, you would have access to all the food and drink that we are providing for our comedians. And then we have three events, but two shows at other venues. So the first night on Wednesday night, 3-2, we have an opening party at Asiento, which is half a block from here. And all week, if you go to Asiento and you say you're from the festival, you get happy hour prices on everything. Mm. So you can even go there after a show at 10 o'clock and go get a drink and you get happy hour prices because you came from the festival. So that's Asiento and how they're helping us out. On Thursday, the SF Eagle is having a big party for us and the comedians and for comedy lovers. It goes from 9 until 2, but we're going to show up about 11 and there's going to be a special show at midnight. It's free. They're waiving a door charge so we can let everybody in. Also, again, drink specials, which is going to be great for the audience, and a free comedy show at midnight hosted by Colin Holtz, who's one of the people who's hosting for us, and then it's going to be 10 of the comedians from the festival. So that's another way that you can just go. And it's going to be really fun.
It's going to be comedy week for sure in San Francisco.
This is the biggest one. On Saturday, 3-5 from 2 to 4, Brainwash Cafe is one of our sponsors. And we're having a show there. And PBR and Brainwash are working together to give everyone in the audience free beer.
Wow.
So free, hear that? Free PBR. And a free comedy show at Brainwash, because it's sponsored by Brainwash and PBR, on Saturday, March 5th from 2 to 5. So if the festival is cost prohibitive for you, there are many ways for you still to listen. You can download the podcasts, you can listen live, or you can come to one of our two free shows. And so we're really trying to be inclusive. So that's what's happening. Yay. So support us. Buy tickets. Be our friends.
That sounds...
Okay, you all heard that comedy festival. Pam, let's go over the dates again slowly and how they can buy tickets.
Absolutely. So it's Wednesday, March 2nd through Sunday, March 6th. 25 of the shows are here at the station. The shows are $10 a piece. You can get a price break if you buy a day pass, which is what I'm really pushing, or a festival pass. They're all available on universe.com. You can buy those tickets now. You can buy them at the door, but we'd really like to try to do pre-sales so that we can know, you know, how many people are coming and like what shows we have to push. And we're just really trying to be a little bit, trying to step up our professional game here at Mutiny Radio.
Well, I've already put the word out for Wednesday, and I'm kind of, you know, we have like 2 minutes. If you can tell us a little bit about Wednesday. I know there's a women's night. So I'm putting the word out and inviting my women entrepreneurs to gather here, and I want to get 40 of them. So I'd like to hear a little bit about who's on the lineup for that that night, and why they need to come over.
Well, the first show on Wednesday, 3-2, is called Too Much Energy, and we have an amazing female comedian from New York named Killy Dwyer. She has a one-woman show that is spectacular. She uses looping. She uses different voices. She has plays instruments, but she's also doing comedy, and she is spectacular, and she's opening up the show, Too Much Energy. The host of that show is Frankie Lee, who is an ex-crack addict who's completely reformed his life and just changed everything, but he has so much energy. So that first show is really about just coming out with a bang, and it's like, you're going to see Killy Dwyer, and she is going to hit you in the face with comedy. You have never seen anything like her before. Unbelievable. Look her up online, Killy Dwyer. Absolutely incredible. And then from 7 to 7:50, it's the clean comedy show. So it's no swears, no weird sexy talk, very clean, clean comedy.
Bring the kids.
You can bring the kids. This is like, Pete, this is comedy that people would do on TV, but funnier. It's going to be great. It's going to be clean. We're trying to, you know, cater to everybody on this festival. Then at 8 o'clock, we have the all-ladies showcase. All ladies, great. Just female comedians. They're great. I love them. I'm one of them.
Yay!
Yeah, it's going to be there. And there's so many on this festival. One of the great things about the festival is that out of the 24 comedians from out of town, nine of them are women. We have a trans performer. We have a bunch of queers. It's going to be great. They're not just all, my point is that they're all not just all straight white men, which is what people usually think comedy is. We have an incredibly diverse group of comedians on the festival. From 9 to 10 is going to be Storytelling, My Favorite Drug. Bodie Lane is hosting this. He's a forever Phish fan. He's traveled all over following Phish, and he's an urban farmer, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, an expert in growing the medical marijuana, and a great, great storyteller.
Phish, the musical group?
Yeah, Phish. He's a Phish head, and he's really, really a great storyteller. And so the theme of it is My Favorite Drug, so we're going to have people telling, like, these crazy drug stories. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're closing out that night, because it's on the same night as the clean comedy show, we're closing it out with the filthy, dirty comedy show that's going to be, wow. It's hosted by Charles Hoffa Kelly, he's a comedian, a black comedian out of Oakland, and he is, I mean, I blush. He is so, so dirty and so bizarrely, he says the craziest things and you just sort of go with it, and I have no idea what's going to happen on that show, but it's going to be a lot of fun as long as people are like, okay, we're in, but it's going to be
well,
dirty.
You've named it, so the people that show up should be prepared for it.
Be prepared, because this is not, I mean, we're going to, there's going to be.
It's not your grandma's show.
Unless she likes fuck swears right out of the, I'm sorry, I swore on your show.
I right out of the now game. I can't.
Oh, okay. Oh no, I meant to say F swears, F bombs. You can, bad Pam, you can take it out. You're editing, right?
Yeah.
You're editing. Sorry about that. I tried so hard to be clean today too. But that's that Wednesday. That's that Wednesday, 3-2 at the station. But all of the lineups are really, really great. We have, on Sunday, we have a roast of Jesus, which is going to be all religious material. I thought, how much more blasphemous could we be than roast Jesus, you know? And then other really fun.
You've got the picture here.
We've got the picture
in the studio here.
We're going to bring Sparkle Jesus up on stage, of course.
Sparkle Jesus.
He's my friend. We have full band backing. We're going to have a pianist and a guitar player back comedians. That's going to be a lot of fun. Another one for you crazy kids out there, the super sober versus super stone set. Comedians are going to get up on stage, do a set totally sober. They're going to stand in the window where everybody can see them, and they're going to smoke a blunt to their face. And then they have to come back in and do comedy again.
Oh, it's sort of the drunken history.
Absolutely. It's going to be, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that. And then, you know, karaoke song and set, make the comedian sing and then have them do a set. It's just going to be a lot of fun. And
well, it sounds like it, and yeah. Ariel and I are going to volunteer, going to be Yay! Here on the board, so I guess that's about it for the Think, Grow, Love. I hope you guys have all really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed talking to Pam. I'm going to have her come back on again and talk about comedy and how, and some maybe tips and tricks on how we can incorporate that in our pitter patter as we move forward in our podcasting and being interviewed as guest experts. So this is Yehudit Steinberg and Think Grow Love, and I'm gonna sign off for the day.
Thanks
so much.
See
you next week.
May want to check out the number 4altacalifornia.com. That's 4altacalifornia.com for a non-addictive, pharmaceutical-free alternative to smoking medical marijuana. Check them out today at number 4altacalifornia.com.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a patter? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer ya. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. You look like the kind of person who has a sense of humor.
Is the radio talking to me?
No, I'm on an internet podcast.
I'm talking to an internet podcast?
Don't be silly. It's a one-way form of communication. But I don't want you to miss out on the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2016 from March 2nd through 6th. And you don't have to. You can buy tickets now on universe.com. With 24 national and international visiting comedians and 20 local hosts, you won't want to miss a thing.
What if I can't be at every show?
Don't worry. All shows will be available for free download at mutinyradio.fm until the internet falls apart.
Oh, podcast god, I can't wait to listen to all these great comedy shows and everything else that's cool at mutinyradio.fm before the internet falls apart.
You too won't want to miss a bit of the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival from March 2nd through 6th, 2016. Buy tickets now.
Brought to you by Subliminal SF, PBR, The Eagle SF, Brainwash Cafe, Asiento, and the great people at Alta California Botanicals. Have you heard of Subliminal SF? Visual and auditory mind control. Graphic design, physical merchandise, live music promotions. Go! www.subliminalsf.com for the most amazing t-shirts you've ever seen. Graphic design for every need. And live music promotion at some of the best bars in San Francisco. That's Subliminal SF, visual and auditory mind control. Go to subliminalsf.com now.
Good evening there, my friends here at MutinyRadio.fm. Chester Cashcock here, and giving you my love and regard as well as movies over there. And I just wanted to let you guys know that anytime I go swimming in my vault of rare coins and piles of filthy cash, I can't help but listen to Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. I mean, if anyone who knows anything about comedy knows that Pamtastic's books the best of San Francisco and beyond's underground comics. It's a great showcase, and they have a fun time at Pamtastic's deep in the Mission District, where you can laugh off your tushy for a mere $5 every Friday to 10 p.m. And I laugh because $5, I mean, that's what I use to wipe my tushy with. So to laugh it off for a mere $5 is indubitable. But if you can't make it to Mutiny Radio, well, don't even worry. Don't fret at all. You can simply download the podcast post-show and giggle in the comfort of anywhere, like your Aspen summer home on the mountain ridge with the kayak feeling. So all you got to do is just go to podcastics.pcrcollective.org/comedyclubhouse, or you can listen live every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. as your host Pam Benjamin brings you the best comedy from San Francisco and beyond the universe. And what's better than the universe? It's a cash cock, honey. Yeah.
Billy Bob, you ever want to be funny?
Well, my dogs think I'm funny, Daryl.
Well, I mean, you ever want to be, like, in front of an audience? Like, other than, like, squirrels, dogs, and dead persons?
Oh, shoot. From time to time, I've given it a thought or two.
You know, if you go to Joke Workshop, there's more than two peoples paying attention to your jokes, and they ain't even gonna be jerks about it.
Daryl, are you serious? I can get people to listen to my jokes?
And they'll even say nice things to you before they tell you how to get improvements.
No way. What is this dang nabbit thing called?
It's Joke Workshop.
Joke Workshop?
Yep, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Mutant Radius.
So you're saying I could tell my jokes every Monday from 6 to 8?
That's what I'm saying. It's the Joke Workshop Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mutant Radius. Yahoo!
499.
The dictionary definition of the adjective eclectic is selecting or choosing from various sources. When Bay Area musician J.D. Buell brings you Morning Train Wednesday, 10 a.m. to noon on Mutiny Radio, that is exactly what he does. Select music from various sources to give you a unique listening experience. Rock, pop, jazz, bluegrass, gospel, funk, reggae, folk, blues, country and western, electronica, soul, disco, rhythm and blues, punk and post-punk come together with music from around the world with Buell's passionate and down-to-earth delivery. In an age of personal music delivery systems, J.D. Buell carries on the values of progressive FM radio, when a listener could actually have a relationship with a programmer, someone who would create an eclectic musical environment wherein both listener and host find fulfillment. The Morning Train with J.D. Buell, Wednesday, 10 to noon on MutinyRadio.fm. Freeform radio for free minds.
Did you know that compact fluorescent light bulbs use 60% less energy than regular light bulbs? And that each one saves about 300 pounds of carbon dioxide a year? If all Americans switched to CFLs, we would save more than 90 billion pounds of carbon dioxide. This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Muni Radio in San Francisco.
People from all over the Bay Area come to the Lindsay Wildlife Museum to experience close encounters with live wild animals. The museum's living collection features more than 50 species of non-releasable native California animals. Visitors can see and learn about wildlife such as eagles, owls, bobcats, coyotes, reptiles, and other fascinating creatures. The museum's world-renowned Wildlife Rehabilitation Hospital treats more than 5,000 wild animals each year with the goal of returning them to their native habitat. The Lindsay Wildlife